This is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Brian Lynn, John Russell, Susan Shand, and Jill Robbins. Later, Dorothy Gundy will continue our series on America's national parks. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
Indonesian Navy ships searched Thursday for a submarine that went missing during training in the Indian Ocean. Officials said 53 crew members were on the boat when it disappeared Wednesday, about 96 kilometers north of the island of Bali. The Navy believes the submarine may have sunk too low in the sea for its control systems to operate. The deeper the submarine sinks, the harder it will be to rescue. Officials estimated the sub's oxygen supply would run out early Saturday. The submarine crew was taking part in training activities Wednesday, but failed to report to a planned meeting. The military said more than 20 Navy ships, 2 submarines, and 5 aircraft were searching the area. A ship designed to map underwater areas and identify objects was also expected to take part. Officials said the operation was helped by calm seas. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said he had ordered military chiefs to deploy all necessary forces to find and rescue the submarine crew. Indonesia's Navy Chief, Admiral Yudo Margono, told reporters, "Hopefully we can rescue them before the oxygen has run out." Officials reported the smell of fuel in the search area, but they said they do not know if that information is linked to the submarine. The Navy believes the submarine sank 600 to 700 meters, much deeper than its estimated collapse depth. The Navy said the submarine might have lost power in a dive, disabling emergency systems. Earlier, a Navy spokesman told Indonesia's Kompas TV that the submarine's electrical system is only designed to operate at a depth of 250 to 500 meters. Anything more than that can be pretty fatal, the spokesman said. Ahn Guk-yong is with South Korea's Daewoo Shipbuilding and Marine Engineering. The company provided major improvements to the submarine from 2009 to 2012. He said pressure would likely collapse the submarine if it went deeper than 200 meters. He said his company had rebuilt a lot of the structures inside the submarine, but he lacked information about its current condition. Navy Chief Yudo said the submarine had been cleared for use and was in good condition. It was built in Germany in 1977 and has been in service in Indonesia since 1981. I'm Brian Lynn.
Kosovar biologist Halil Ibrahimi believes the restrictions related to the coronavirus were not all bad. As a result of the measures, he was able to finish a research project and raise public awareness about the pollution of rivers in Kosovo. And, since his research was completed during the pandemic, Ibrahimi decided to name a newly discovered insect after the coronavirus. Ibrahimi spent years working on a research report on an insect species found in Kosovo's Bjeshket Inamuna National Park. That species now has the name Potamophilax coronavirus. Ibrahimi is a professor of the Natural Sciences Faculty at Pristina University. When he collected the insects in the national park, he found that the creatures were quite different from other species in the Balkans. For example, the insects are much smaller and live in areas about 2,000 meters above sea level. Ibrahimi announced the new name for the species in a scientific publication this month. Coronavirus was the most vivid thing during the time when the species was discovered, he said. Vivid is a term that means producing a clear, strong, or sharp feeling. During his research, Ibrahimi also discovered that conditions along the Lombardy-Idichanet River, where the new species was found, had worsened in recent years. The river damage is likely linked to the building of a hydropower plant. Kosovo, and the Balkan countries in general, have a long history of environmental pollution of all kinds. Ibrahimi compared the effects of pollution on the insects to the coronavirus crisis. It has the same effect on the species living in the rivers as the coronavirus is causing to humankind these days, he said. The overall environmental situation in Kosovo has worsened over the years. This is likely a result of increased building, traffic, and industrial pollution, as well as government efforts to push the use of small hydropower plants. A 2020 report by Kosovo's Ministry of Economy and Environment noted that uncontrolled use of water resources and damage to riverbeds still remains one of the forms of degradation of our water resources. Degradation is a term that means the process of damaging or ruining something. Ibrahimi suggested that people should rethink their attitude toward the environment because these insects are the first barrier before the pollution comes to the humans. He added that insects are the first sign that something is going wrong in the environment. Now that the coronavirus and the insect are forever linked by name, Ibrahimi suggests that government agencies should take measures to stop further damage to the environment. And, he added, people must start considering these insect species as part of their own life. I'm John Russell.
Worldwide attacks of online extortion called ransomware, is hurting local governments, hospitals, and businesses. In such attacks, criminals infect the computer systems of organizations with bad software. The software hijacks data files and leaves them unreadable. The attacker then demands payment in exchange for returning the data to a readable state. Law enforcement has been largely powerless to stop it. Ransomware attacks mostly come from Russian-speaking cybercriminals. Security researchers and U.S. law enforcement say some of these criminals are protected and sometimes even employed by Russian intelligence services. The administration of President Joe Biden has taken new action against Russia in an effort to reduce such crimes. On Thursday, the U.S. placed sanctions on the Russian government. The Treasury Department said Russian intelligence has permitted ransomware attacks by supporting and protecting criminal hackers. The costs of ransomware attacks have reached into the tens of billions of dollars. The value of Russian protection is not lost on the cyber criminals themselves. Earlier this year, experts found a Russian language website about a cyber criminal known as Bugatti. Bugatti's group of hackers had been caught by U.S. Interpol investigators. Members of the website accused Bugatti of being technically careless. Even worse, some said, Bugatti had permitted Western authorities to seize ransomware servers that could have been protected in Russia instead. Mother Russia will help you, the member wrote. Love your country and nothing will happen to you. Like almost any major industry in Russia, cyber criminals work kind of with the tacit consent, sometimes explicit consent, of the security services, said Michael Van Landingham. He is a former CIA computer expert. Russian officials have one rule, said Karen Kazarian, head of the Internet Research Institute in Moscow. Just don't ever work against your country and businesses in this country, Kazarian said. If you steal something from Americans, that's fine. There is no evidence that the Russian government receives money from ransomware crime, but experts say President Vladimir Putin may see the problems caused by the attacks as helping Russia in some way. Last year in the U.S. alone, ransomware attacked more than 100 federal, state, and local agencies. In addition, attacks hit about 500 hospitals and other healthcare centers, around 1,680 schools, colleges, and universities, and hundreds of businesses, said cybersecurity company MCSoft. Some cybercriminals have demanded as much as $50 million to give back data. If the victims do not pay, the criminals may publish their data on the Internet. The idea that the Russian government assists cybercriminals is nothing new, said Adam Hickey, a U.S. Deputy Assistant Attorney General. He noted that cybercrime can provide good cover for espionage. Back in the 1990s, Russian intelligence employed criminal hackers for that purpose, the Internet Research Institute's Kazarian said. He added that many of those hackers are now working as ransomware criminals. Russia sometimes hires arrested criminal hackers by offering them a choice between prison and working for the state, said Dmitry Alperovich. He is the former chief technical officer for the cybersecurity company CrowdStrike. A Russian embassy spokesman would not answer questions about his government's possible ties to ransomware criminals. At least one ransomware criminal has been linked to the Russian government. Maxim Yakubets is head of an organization called Evil Corp. The 33-year-old worked for the FSB Security Service as a computer expert in 2017. The U.S. has accused him of being a major ransomware criminal and offered $5 million for information on his whereabouts. The U.S. Treasury says he has stolen at least $100 million from cybercrimes in more than 40 countries. Many experts believe that while this week's U.S. sanctions send a strong message, they will likely not lead to any changes unless there is a real financial cost to Russia. Another possible way to stop cybercrimes has been identified. Allied countries could identify the banks that accept ransomware money and cut them off from the worldwide banking system. Following the money and stopping criminals from getting it would go a long way in stopping ransomware attacks, said John Rigi. He is a cybersecurity expert at the American Hospital Association and a former FBI official. I'm Susan Shand.
The 93rd Academy Awards ceremony is to be broadcast on Sunday, April 25th. Oscar is the name of the figure on the small statue, so people call the award an Oscar. This year, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences nominated a diverse group of actors and movie professionals for awards. Like others who came before them, they will give short speeches thanking those who helped them in their work. In today's lesson, we will look at the language you will hear in those speeches. If you ever have the honor of receiving an award, you can use this knowledge to make your own acceptance speech. Let us start with how long the speech should last. To be a member of the Academy, a person has to work in the production of movies released in theaters. When a winner receives an award, they usually begin by thanking the Academy, movie makers like themselves. There is a time limit for Oscar acceptance speeches. It is said the Academy decided to make the rule after Greer Garson gave a nearly 6-minute speech in 1942. Now, the speeches are supposed to be less than 45 seconds. However, the winners of the Best Actor Award usually speak for about 2 minutes. At that point, music usually begins to play, telling the speaker to finish. The Australian actor Paul Hogan gave advice to the winners at the 1987 Academy Awards. He said,
"Firstly, winners, when you make your speech, it's a good tip to remember the three G's. Be gracious, be grateful, get off."
Be gracious means to be kind and respectful. After all, the winners are speaking to a group of people they want to continue working with in the future. Be grateful means to be thankful, and get off means to leave the stage. Many Oscar winners use their time to speak in support of their favorite cause. That can make their speech much longer. But people watching on TV usually enjoy hearing shorter speeches. Award winners usually look back over their life or work. They may try to use humor. The grammar you will hear at that point often includes the present perfect tense. Here is Shirley MacLaine in her 1984 acceptance speech.
"I have wondered for 26 years what this would feel like."
Marlon Brando used the present perfect as he accepted his first Academy Award in 1955. He said,
I don't think that ever in my life have so many people been so directly responsible for my being so very, very glad.
After thanking the members of the Academy, almost every winner thanks family and co-workers. In 2018, Gary Oldman spoke of his 99-year-old mother. He asked her to prepare tea for him and the Oscar.
I say to my mother, thank you for your love and support. Put the kettle on. I'm bringing Oscar home.
Note that Oldman said, thank you for your love and support. This is the most common way. Thanks, for, plus noun. In 2020, Brad Pitt used the preposition to.
Thank you. This is incredible, really incredible. Thank you to the Academy for this honor of honors. They told me I only have 45 seconds up here.
How do movie makers show that they do not think they are better than other people? In other words, that they are humble. One way is to praise the other nominees and to say that they should receive the award. In his speech, Tom Hanks said other actors should have won, not him.
I'm standing here in lieu of my fellow nominees who are just as deserving, if not more so, of this moment.
Paul Hogan also gave advice about being too humble.
Secondly, don't be too humble tonight, because we have up here second envelope. Now don't get up on the stage and say, I don't deserve this award. If you really feel you don't deserve an Academy Award, just give us a wave from your seat.
Finally, a good speech inspires others to work toward their own goals. In many Oscar speeches, the winners say that others can reach success too. Lupita Nyong'o, in 2014, wanted children to follow their dreams.
When I look down at this golden statue, may it remind me and every little child that no matter where you're from, your dreams are valid. Thank you.
Shirley MacLaine said everyone should trust that they can succeed.
God bless that potential that we all have for making anything possible if we think we deserve it. I deserve this. Thank you.
And now, with congratulations to all of the winners of the 93rd Academy Awards, I'm Jill Robbins.
To help protect yourself against the new coronavirus, wash your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, and after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. If you cannot wash your hands with soap and water, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol. Taking these steps can help prevent not only the new coronavirus disease, but also colds, flu, and other viruses. For more information, visit the following websites. The World Health Organization at www.who.int or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at www.cdc.gov.
Yellowstone National Park became America's first national park in 1872. The National Park Service was formed 44 years later in 1916. Yellowstone, which is mostly in the state of Wyoming, is considered an example of the success of the national park system. Humans have been present in Yellowstone for more than 11,000 years. The first organized exploration of the area, which lies close to the continental divide of North America, took place in 1870. Those first organized explorers must have seen right away how special the land was. Yellowstone contains beautiful mountains, deep canyons, lakes, and rivers. The name Yellowstone comes from the river running through the area. At first known as Rock Yellow River, it became known as the Yellowstone River. Yellowstone is host to many different species of plants. However, the park is most special because of what lies underneath it. It sits on top of an ancient supervolcano known as the Yellowstone Caldera. The caldera is 48 by 72 kilometers, and it remains an active volcano. It is believed that the last time the volcano exploded or erupted was 500,000 years ago. The area has had 3 major eruptions in the last 3 million years. Experts say it may erupt again in another 1,000 to 10,000 years. But each year, there are thousands of earthquakes at Yellowstone. Most are too small to be felt by people visiting the park. Yellowstone is filled with the beauty of many thermal or hot water springs. Of all the geothermal places in the world, half are in Yellowstone. In places of geothermal activity, hot water and gases are trapped under the Earth's crust. In places like Yellowstone, they rush to the surface in the form of hot water and steam to form geysers. There are more geysers and hot springs in Yellowstone than anywhere else on Earth. The most famous geyser is Old Faithful. It erupts about every hour or hour and a half. The eruption can last from 1.5 minutes up to 5 minutes. The amount of hot water it expels in that time can be as much as 31,000 liters or more. In addition to its beauty and wonder, Yellowstone is an animal sanctuary. It is home to the largest group of wild animals in the lower 48 United States. As you travel through the park, you can sometimes see them in their natural habitat and hear their calls to mate and defend themselves. Listen to this elk's bugle. There is still a Wild West in America, and its name is Yellowstone. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.